As we just heard, we hope that everyone had a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, special fellowship, activities, all the messages, etc. But it's over. It's over. So, like, now what? The first thing I think about, usually I'm a glass empty guy, Halloween, that's it, come back, all the decorations. And, you know, how we're going to make sure our lights are out when that rolls around. A good thing is Thanksgiving, my favorite national holiday. Then it's, you know, December 25th, right? Then we come back to our job, which may or may not be the greatest. We come back for students to homework, housework, do the dishes, do the laundry, and situations that are difficult in our life, they're back, they're still there, right? But I just want to give you four simple points to, I'll say, keep the feast spirit alive. There's four simple points. And the first one, if you've taken notes, to review your notes. And I would like to give you a reason why it is good to take notes, especially if you're newer. But this is true. 75% of what you hear is lost in 24 hours. 75%. And guess what? In 1 week, you have forgotten 98% of what you've heard. It's just how our brain works, right? But if you did take notes, you can review them, right? And, oh, yeah, right, I like that, or this is a really good point. Okay, if we've completely forgotten everything and came away with nothing, then, you know, that's not the ideal. So, reviewing notes, taking notes are important. We can continue that here at the church. Number two is a related point. Pray specifically about messages that impacted you. Write some message that, wow, I need to work on that, or I need to keep that in mind over the next year. Well, pray about that and ask God to help you to instill that within you so you won't lose something that was valuable that you heard at the feast. And again, if you use notes, you can be reminded of what all those points were. And it'll help you, again, to carry that feast spirit with you. Okay, number three is use the Sabbath day to sustain that festival spirit. Really use the Sabbath day. Let's open up to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, the holy day chapter of Scripture. In Leviticus 23, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel concerning the feasts, plural, of the Lord. You will proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. What's the first feast? Is it the Feast of Trumpets? Feast of Tabernacles? No. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein, is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So in the context of laying out the festivals, it starts off with the very basic festival, and that is the seventh-day Sabbath. And we actually heard a message in Wisconsin that it is a type of the millennium. Sabbath is a type of millennium. It's our weekly rest. The millennium is, you know, rest for mankind. And we heard a whole sermon on that. Obviously, the feast can't equal the impact, right, of just the one day that we have, right? It's obviously, it's extended. But the Sabbath is, the concepts are still there, right? It's our rest, but it's the rest that we pray for humanity, the hope for mankind. It's all embodied in the regular Sabbath day. So we should always try to make the Sabbath special. Besides the obvious, you know, coming to church, which is a holy convocation, you know, maybe we really ate well at the feast, right? Maybe we had a lot of great meals and stuff. Well, if you have an employee, that why don't you make Friday evening like one of your best meal of the week? Like make it a special meal. So you always have that to look forward to. And it brings delight and it brings a positive spirit to the Sabbath day. We've done that for many, many decades. It's wonderful. The Sabbath, of course, besides services, it's a time that you could read the Bible more. You could do some Bible study and use the time. That's why it's there. That's why we have the seventh day rest. And as we usually do, but make use for Sabbath fellowship. Yeah, it's not the feast where you have 300 people or whatever, but we do have our fellowship opportunities every week. The last point, number four, is be a doer of the festival messages, the meaning of the feast, what it represents. Be a doer of it. Let's go to James chapter 1. I tend to read this scripture a lot. And because there's a point. James 1, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you can say, wow, I read 5 chapters of the Bible today. Check. That's good. But you had no plans or real desire to actually implement anything that you read. But you read five chapters. But it's like if you don't do anything, you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, and then he forgets what manner of man that he was. So we could do all the things. We could be at services, and we could take notes, right, and absorb the messages. But if we never implement anything that we hear, what value is it? That's why James is so blunt and so true, that it's always about putting these things actively in our life. God's word is not just to read and study or intellectual curiosity. It's about implementing it, living the life of a Christian. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, because we've been talking about extending the feast spirit, trying to keep things going. And King Solomon, he was pretty special in what he did, as we will read here. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that he might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled themselves to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Of course, we know the seventh month is where the spring, the full holy days are. All the elders of Israel came. The priests took up the ark. They brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle and all the holy vessels that were there. They brought it up. Okay. Let's go to the end. Last couple verses of 1 Kings 8. It says, at that time, Solomon held a feast. All Israel with him, a great congregation from entering in of Hamath to the river of Egypt before the Lord, our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day, he sent the people away. They blessed the king. They went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David, his servant, and for Israel, his people. The implications are it's the seventh month. There's a 7-day Feast of Tabernacles, as we know. And Solomon said, hey, guess what? Let's double it. Let's have a double feast. Wow. Talk about a way to extend it, right? He literally extended it by 7 days. But here in the sermonette, we're just trying to talk about extending it, you know, with our attitude. The Feast Spirit really is about our attitude. We still are there to rejoice before God. We're still there to be committed to God and His ways. And if we've forgotten all the messages and we just came back and there's no inspiration that we received at the feast for whatever reason, then how valuable was the feast, really? It's valuable if we take it back and we can kind of recharge and move forward in a positive way. So let's make a longer term by taking these 4 points to heart.